You're listening to the Transform Your Life podcast, where we talk about everything that you need to know to live your life happy, healthy, and whole. We talk about everything from pop culture to current events, or just things that you've always been curious about, every Tuesday in order to help you get the information you need to live your best life. Here's your host, Dr. Malika. Hello, everyone, and happy Transformation Tuesday. Welcome to Transforming Your Life with Dr. Malika, and we are here for another episode. So today's topic is polishing your personality. And so I know that that probably sounds like, how is that possible? But it is something that can be done, and we're going to get into how you do that. And I think that this will be a really good conversation for us to have. I want to start out this episode kind of just talking about personality, some of the theories that comes with personality before we dive into how to actually make changes to your personality or polish it up or make adjustments. And so I think it's important to just understand some baseline stuff before we like really dig into this. So let's just start with some of the major theories when it comes to personality. So for me, this is one of the subject matters and chapters that I teach to my students in intro psychology that I really love, because I feel like it's a way for you to really get an understanding of who you are as a person, how you developed into that, and ways to understand what that means for you, how you behave, your triggers, different things like that. So one of the first major theories when it comes to personality is the biological theories. So these biological theories look at the assumption that our personality is based on genetic or biological things. This is the classic nature versus nurture debate. And obviously the biological theories will side with nature when it comes to personality. Research looks at heritability when it comes to the biological theories. They try to make a link between your genetics and your personality traits. One of the ways they often do this is twin studies. So they will investigate the links between genetics versus what might be environmental variables. So for example, they may look at the differences and similarities of twins that are raised together versus those who are raised apart. And obviously they will look at identical twins because their genetic sequence is identical. So they know that the biology is not different. There's no differences there in the biology. And that's a way to compare the environment versus their genetics. Probably one of the most well-known biological theorists is Hans Eysenck. And he is basically known for looking at personality. He argued that personality is influenced by the stress hormone cortisol. According to his theory, introverts have very high cortisol arousal and they avoid stimulation, where extroverts have low cortisol arousal and they crave stimulation. So this is his particular biological approach. He's not the only one, but he is probably the main one when it comes to biological theories. Next, we have behavioral theories. So this is looking at behavior and the environment, the interaction between an individual and their environment. Probably the two most well-known in this particular area is B.F. Skinner and John Watson. So Watson is known for the little Albert experiment, where he took a baby and he basically conditioned the baby to have a fear response to different stimuli that were not there prior to him introducing and creating that dynamic. For behavioral theorists, they basically suggest that your personality is a direct result of your interactions between you and the environment that you live in. They also believe and study observable and measurable things. So they believe that behavior is measurable. They reject any theory that talks about internal thoughts, moods, feelings, because those are things that cannot be measured. And behaviorists are very much about being able to measure things. I mentioned Skinner. Skinner is known for his research with animals and putting them in a box. and putting them in a situation to where he would promote particular behavior responses and conditioning the animal to do a particular thing based on the outcome that that animal was trying to reach. So for example, you put the cat in the box, there is food outside the box, there's a lever. And once the cat figures out that pushing the lever will actually allow the hatch to come open so that they can get to the food, the belief is that they will repeat that behavior because they have learned by interacting with their environment. The basis for behavioral theories is just simply, according to them, predictable behavior conditioning occurs through your interactions with your environment, and that ultimately shapes your personality. Now, this next one is the psychodynamic theories. And when we say psychodynamic, everybody automatically probably thinks about Sigmund Freud. He is probably the father, the face of psychology, definitely when it comes to personality and things of that nature. And Sigmund Freud did a lot of work looking at the unconscious mind, looking at childhood experiences and how that influences our personality. That was his emphasis. He basically came up with what he called a psychosexual stage theory. And his model looked at the different stages that we go through directly connected to erogenous zones. And he believed that our personality had three components. It had the id, the ego, and the superego. The id is our raw nature, natural parts of us that has needs and urges, the things that feel good. And then the superego is the part that is our moral center. It regulates ideals, laws, things that are considered to be acceptable. And then your ego is what I always call the referee between the two. It has to balance and moderate the demands of the ego versus the superego and the reality of life. So Freud suggested that children basically progress through a series of stages in which the id's energy is focused on the erogenous zones. That's the reason why his model was psychosexual. One of his students, Erik Erikson, his model was psychosocial, and Erikson believed that personality progressed through a series of stages based on the conflicts that arise at that age. His model was basically based on different age ranges. So it would start from 0 to 18 months or 2 years, depending on which chart you look at. And then it would go to the next stage and there would be an age range, et cetera. So success in any of those stages, according to Erikson, depended on successfully overcoming these particular conflicts. The last two I want to go through really quickly. Humanist theories, probably the main names in that area is Carl Rogers, Abraham Maslow. For Rogers, he created a therapeutic model called person-centered therapy that is based on this particular theory and research that he has done when it comes to personality. Maslow, the hierarchy of needs, if you've heard of that, he is the person, the theorist that created the hierarchy of needs. But a humanist theorist basically promotes the concept of self-actualization, which is basically our innate need for personal growth and ways that our personal growth will influence or motivate our behavior. And then the last one that I want to give before we get into how we're polishing our personality is the trait theory. So the trait theory is an approach that is probably the most prominent area of personality psychology. This is where you see a lot of your personality testing are done based on trait theories. So probably one of the most well-known is Eysenck's three-dimension theory, and then the five-factor theory of personality. For Eysenck's questionnaire that collects data, it's basically looking at three major dimensions of personality. It looks at extroversion, neuroticism, and then psychoticism. And then when you look at the five-factor theory, it's based on what we like to call the acronym OCEAN. So it is openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. And those things are actually looked at on a continuum. So that is just my mini lesson for you guys for personality theory, so you can get an understanding of the basis of that. And then when we come back, we're going to get into looking at analyzing our personality and how we are able to polish and change parts of our personality that need a little upgrade or need to be need to be taken to a different level. We'll be back in just a second on Transforming Your Life with Dr. Malika. And we're back. And so we're going to get into talking about polishing your personality. So in the first segment, we got into a little mini lesson of psychology theory, and now we're going to really get into the topic. So let's just look at the fact that each one of us is basically endowed with our personality. And what our personality is an assembly of more or less our stable traits that are constantly influenced by how we move about the world, the experiences we have, the successes, the failures, etc. Many people know more about the things around them than they actually do about themselves. So they may know more about their job description and the things they do professionally, the cars they drive, than they really know about themselves. And so I think that this topic is really important because I'm all about self-awareness. We have to know who we are. We have to know what makes us tick. And we definitely have to know what's under the hood. For in this case, under the hood would be what's inside our mind, our psyche, in order for us to operate at our highest level, at our highest self. And I think that that's really important. But I do want to talk about the fact that there is a belief that our personality characteristics are stable, which means that they do not fluctuate by age, that there's a particular stability to what we have with our personality. So for example, I talked about the biological concept, and we talked about cortisol levels and being introverted and extroverted. So for me, I am an extroverted personality. And so that has always been my personality. I didn't just become that as an adult. So even as a child, I was very extroverted. I was the kid that always got very smart, but talks too much in class. Like, I was that kid because I was talking to everyone. I was just like the person that felt like this was the time to socialize. I didn't have a problem answering questions in class. So if the teacher asked something, you best believe Malika was going to answer the question. So that just shows you there's a stability to my personality. That extroversion was always there. And so one of the things we have to look at as well with our personality is with the stability that our personality traits are not binary. So a lot of times we try to make it either or. So we try to say you're introverted or you're extroverted, right? You're neurotic or you have emotional stability. It's one or the other, good or bad. And that is not the way our personalities work. We work on a continuum. Our personality traits often are at an intersection depending on the circumstances that are happening. For example, when I gave you the five factor theory example, I talked about one of the traits being agreeableness. We look at agreeableness as being a positive quality because it means that that person is agreeable, they get along with people, and that if you score lower on that particular trait on that scale, then that means that there's something wrong with you, there's something bad. And that is not what this is about, because the reality is there will be conflict at different points of our life. And there really is nothing that you can do about that. There are some exceptions, right? For example, when we're talking about sadism and psychopathy, emotional instability, which would be neuroticism on an extreme scale, most personality traits or characteristics can usually be healthy or unhealthy, but they're adaptive, which means you move back and forth on that continuum that I talked about. And so there are a lot of people that know things about their personality that they don't necessarily agree with, and they want to make changes for the better. So let's just talk about some of the statistics and just some of the research that has been done with that. So for example, there was some psychologists, Nathan Hudson and Chris Fraley, who found that on the low end, 87% of people who expressed a desire to be more extroverted. So these are your introverts, and they have a desire to be more extroverted in their personality. And then more than 97% of people that were surveyed wanted greater conscientiousness. So conscientiousness is being paying attention to detail, being focused and oriented to the small things, the things that matter. And then you'll find that there are other things that people, when they were surveyed, that they wanted to make changes to. The same researchers also found that it was possible to consciously change personality traits. So remember, we talked about the stability of our personalities, the fact that when we're younger, up until we leave here, our personality characteristics are basically stable, but you have the ability to make adjustments and changes. And so this is the polishing that we're talking about. Changing yourself is a very, very daunting task. Under the best circumstances and even with the greatest guidance, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be an easy thing to do. But you have to be, number one, honest with yourself. You have to be honest about who you are as a person and not based on what you think is politically correct and what people will accept at large. You have to be willing to accept who you are, even if it's considered socially good or socially bad. You have to accept those things about yourself. After you identify who you are, your personality traits and characteristics, the things that you look at on there that you want to change, you have to now put forward goals, identifying specific behaviors that you want to change, work on those behaviors, and assess yourself at different intervals along the process. So one of the things that all clinicians do when they're working with a client is that they're constantly, number one, they take assessment at the beginning of developing the therapeutic relationship with that client, but all throughout working with them on their treatment plan, they are always constantly assessing and seeing what progress is being made or if there's any regression in any areas. When you're working on changing your personality or polishing your personality, you will need to do that. You will definitely need to make assessments at regular intervals to see how much change and progress is being made. To navigate the different facets of yourself, the things you like, the things you want to improve, what you would like to see as an up-to-date version of yourself is going to be critical to this process. So you have to ask questions of yourself and be able to have definitive answers. Are you singular versus multifaceted, right? Are you secure versus insecure? How clear is your sense of who you really are, your sense of self? These are things that are important because this delves into your emotional intelligence, your quality of self-control. And these are very important because it also connects to your ability to be adaptive or maladaptive, which is a very key personality feature. And it's going to be helpful for you making these changes that you state that you want to make. Looking at who you are, being clear about your sense of self, it's helpful to help you see how to shape into a healthier version of you versus the unhealthy things that you may identify in yourself. And there are a lot of different ways to do that. So I just want to use an example of a case study where this was a person who looked at a characteristic that they had that they wanted to adjust. So we'll call the guy in this case study Bob. All right. So for Bob, he got a lot of feedback from his colleagues that he had a very hostile tone when he was working with them in different projects and on different things at the workplace. So Tom is a computer engineer. He has a desire to move up into more managerial oversight type positions, but he also has certain tendencies that he noticed plays a part and how he responds to people when he's under stress. He has a tendency to worry. He is very overly conscientious, which we know conscientiousness can be a good thing, but too much of some things can be too much of a good thing. So overly anal about certain things, not able to move past certain things because he's so stuck in the details. He's very comfortable without a lot of human contact, which can sometimes not be good depending on the type of job you have. He has to focus on his work in a very isolated manner in order to really be successful. That has so far been successful for him professionally, but he also has found that that bleeds over into his personal life. He has a family, he has friendships that are very valuable, and he is finding that those characteristics that have somewhat made him successful professionally, even not necessarily in the relationships, have not been so good on the other side. So he has noticed that he's not very good with displaying warmth or empathy. It's not a natural thing for him. And he is very extroverted, but he's not very social. So he doesn't like to socialize with people. So when he's put in those situations to interact or have to have very social type interactions in the workplace, he has that hostile tone that his coworkers have complained about. So he has realized that this is something that he wants to change because he's not out to hurt people's feelings. He's not there to make people feel a particular type of way. It made him feel some kind of way that he was offending people. So this was what he decided he wanted to do and fix. So first of all, Tom, Bob has shown that he has a high degree of self-awareness. He's very aware of who he is. He's very aware of the fact that, number one, his people skills need some improvement, right? He needs to be more social in a variety of situations, not just with his family and friends. He also understands that there will be misinterpretations of who he is as a person, especially in the workplace, because people don't always know you intimately. And oftentimes he would let those things slide. But the problem is those feelings that he didn't deal with would build up. And so then the hostile tones would come out depending on the interaction, because he could sometimes be very defensive and that would cause problems. One of the things that he was having an issue with was the cognitive dissonance between who he was as a person. He was a very caring person, but he was being perceived as hostile. So those things did not work for him, and he was trying to figure out a way to make those changes. So after doing an inventory of his strengths, it gave him an insight into the things that are challenges for him. Not only the ability to cultivate warm interactions with others, but he would often cut them short because it wasn't comfortable for him. So he made it his job, Bob did specifically, to be more vocal with his colleagues and staff, to voice appreciation of them, to compliment them, doing helpful acts, to go out of what was his comfort zone. And eventually that was a way for him to make those practices and behaviors instinctive to where it wasn't a conscious thing that he had to do. So that is an example of how you can take a specific area or specific issues that you have identified that may be in one arena of your life or multiple arenas, and then you can go and make adjustments across the board that will be very beneficial going forward. So I want to stop here. And when I come back, I want to give some tips on some things that you can do in this final segment that I think will be very helpful for you overcoming or polishing those particular parts of your personality that you're not necessarily happy with or pleased with, and you want to make adjustments going forward. So stay tuned, don't leave, and we will be back in just a second. So we're back for our final segment, and I want to give some tips or steps that I think are very important for you to consider when it comes to polishing your personality. This episode was probably a little bit more technical than I normally am, but I think that it was necessary for you to really understand personality beyond the misconceptions and the different things that we say colloquially that are not actually accurate. And so that's the reason why I wanted to start out with that before I got into this topic, because I really like to dispel the myths and the rumors that we have out there. So the first tip that I will give you is that you have to be honest. There's no reason into going into self-improvement of any kind, whether it's working with your personality, job skills, just a skill that you want to learn, something that you just want to be better at in life, if you're not going to be honest. It doesn't make sense to lie to yourself about who you are as a person, because that does not accomplish or achieve anything. I'm a big proponent on owning who you are. So this is the owning who you are is probably the first step. Own your stuff. If you are a negative person, like that's where your mindset goes, your thinking style goes more negative than positive, own that, because that is still something that you can work on and improve. If your emotional intelligence level is lower than you would like to be, you still need to own it, own your stuff. But that doesn't mean it's not something that you cannot improve. If your quality of self-control is something that you would like to have more of, own that. Because if you don't own your stuff, if you don't own who you are, you can't make changes to stuff that you don't acknowledge, right? We talk about the fact that you can't heal what you don't face. So in this case, you can't improve what you don't acknowledge exists. So if you try to act like oh, I'm this positive person, or, oh, I have the greatest self-control, when that is not the reality. You'll never, ever get to the place where you actually have the self-control that you desire to have. So that will be my first tip, is to, number one, is to be honest or own your stuff. All right. The next one I would say is to take an inventory of yourself. So the inventory is going to be important. So after you've acknowledged who you are, you need to kind of categorize the different personality characteristics that you have. If you want to use some of the models that I've given, you can use the models that are biological. You can use the models that are the trait approaches. You can even use Freudian approaches or psychodynamic if you like. There's different ways that you can do inventories for your personality, but you need to make sure that you have a correct inventory of your personality traits in order to look at the things that you want to make changes to. All right. So after you've done that, then you need to put together a plan, right? What are the things that you're trying to make changes to? And what is the plan for how to get there? There's different ways for you to put the plan together. With problem solving, there's different ways we look at problem solving. One of the techniques is called working backwards, which means you have the end goal, you know where you're trying to go, and you work backwards from that place with the steps you think would be necessary. You fill those in order to get to that end goal from the starting point that you're at. So if you know that you have, let's just use Bob's example of him having a hostile tone and interactions with his coworkers. If the end goal is for them to see his caring side, right? We talked about the fact that he had a cognitive dissonance because he knows that he is a very caring person, but his coworkers are seeing him as hostile. So he wanted to make sure he could reconcile those things. So the end goal was for them to see his true self, to see who he really was. And so that is a way for you to look at it. Start from the end, work backwards on how you think the steps will be to get there. But make sure you have a strategic plan on what you're going to do and work on and what you're trying to achieve. I would like to take a caveat or a side note to that, is to make sure that you're not trying to do too much, because sometimes we try to achieve too many things at once, and that can be overwhelming to try to make all of these life changes or all of these personal changes to yourself at one time can be overwhelming. And then you'll find yourself in a place where you are not actually making any progress, because you will give up. If it's too much, you'll just put it all down and you will not even move forward. All right. The last tip that I will give is to make sure that you are always constantly assessing your progress and where you are in regular intervals. So don't just do it when you start. Don't just do it at the end of what you consider the process, but to make sure you're doing it consistently. So maybe you need to do a weekly check-in with yourself to see your interactions for this particular area and how you've improved in those interactions. It may be that you do it bi-weekly, or you do it every month, where you look at the improvements that you have made, but it all depends on the person. But it's really important to make sure that you are assessing yourself in order to make tweaks as necessary to your plan, because maybe you had the plan, but as you get into the plan, you notice that there's adjustments that need to be made. That is the assessment part of it. That is what's important about assessment, because assessing will allow you to make those tweaks that are necessary. And then I probably will give you this last tip. The last one I will say is to give yourself grace. Give yourself the space to fail at the process or not make as much progress as you would like to make, because that is just what we are. We're human beings. And in a perfect world, we would set a plan and we would follow the plan and we would be done. End of story. That is not necessarily how life works. So just make sure that you're giving yourself enough time and grace and space to be able to make this progress that you desire to make with yourself. And I guarantee you that you will see great improvements in yourself. I think this is really important. We've had a lot of time with ourselves, in isolation because of the pandemic and quarantine, to where we've had a lot of time to deal with ourselves and sit with ourselves. And some of us have not liked everything that we've seen, but this doesn't have to be discouraging. This can actually be something that can be encouraging, because that's areas that you can readily identify and you know that you can get rid of. So I think that that's really, really important to give yourself grace, because we often give other people grace more so than we give ourselves. So make sure that you give yourself the space to be human. All right. And I guarantee you all this work that you're doing, your mental health will thank you, because you will see just the improvement in your overall mental health and well-being. So that's the end of this episode. And I'm so glad that you joined me. Remember that you can always reach out to me on social media, as well as by email. Social media handles is Dr. Malika Speaks, Malika spelled M-A-L-A-I-K-A. And that is on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Email address is drmalikaspeaks@gmail.com. And we would love to hear, feedback from you on the episodes, and just any ideas of things you would like for me to talk about. I'm always open to topics that people would like to hear when it comes to mental health, improving yourself, just being your best self. And so, as I always say, make sure that you're taking being good to yourself, and make sure that you're being good to others. And until next time, have a great rest of your week. Thank you for joining us this week on the Transforming Your Life podcast with Dr. Malika. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Social media handle is at Dr. Malika Speaks, M-A-L-A-I-K-A, and at my website, malikambrown.com, for more information on the podcast and other topics that we have going forward. As always, subscribe to the show to catch every new episode, and please be kind to leave us a review so we can continue to bring you fresh content. See you next Tuesday, and make sure that you have a great rest of your week. Take care of yourself and take care of others.